It's Illum Group's Andrea Lay, PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills, Sri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom, and I'm coming to you today from the Catskills. I'll be playing Heckingers Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before we get to the CBG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of May 6th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them dependably intriguing. We hope you do too. We're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Over to you, Sri.
In case you're wondering what this background is, I'm at my father-in-law's house all the way in Chennai, India for the next couple of weeks. So what's the message of the week? Kroger Precision Marketing strikes a partnership with none other than Yahoo DSP. So Yahoo DSP advertisers now have access to KPM's audiences for both reach and measurement. Partnership marks KPM's second DSP partnership since last fall and ushers in a new focus on commerce media for Yahoo advertising in particular. Collaborations like this one will define the next phase of growth in retail media as retailers recognize the limitations of monetization on their own digital properties and seek incremental growth by expanding offsite. This is said by Sara Marzano, principal analyst at eMarketer. For advertisers, the delayed but still impending deprecation of third-party cookies, which is now on its way, continues to underpin every decision regarding digital advertising dollars. So solutions that safeguard their investments against that will hold increasing appeal. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Walmart adds a new grocery line to its private brands portfolio. Walmart has announced a new private label grocery brand called Better Goods. The line includes 300 items spanning categories such as frozen, dairy, snacks, beverages, pasta, soups, coffee, and chocolate. With most items priced under $5, Better Goods focuses on three key components: culinary experiences, plant-based, and made without. The retailer said Better Goods marks not only its largest private food brand launch in two decades, but also its fastest grocery brand brought to market. Over to you, Melissa.
Thanks, Andrea. So Save Mart companies roll out in-store retail media networks. It's not enough that we have online. Now we're moving to in-store retail media networks. The Save Mart companies plans to roll out In-Store Connect, an in-store retail media network powered by Quad Graphics Inc. To start, 16 of the grocery company stores will have digital screens, kiosks, end caps, shelf screens, and vertical banners throughout, allowing CPG partners to showcase promotions, product information, and recommendations to shoppers. The program will eventually roll out to all of the Save Mart companies, approximately 200 stores. This is Save Mart's latest retail media effort, coming almost a year after a launch of its own retail media network. Over to you, Peter.
Thanks, Melissa. Rite Aid expands Uber Eats partnership for alcohol delivery in 8 states. Nearly 1,000 Rite Aid stores will now offer alcohol delivery via retailers' expanded partnership with Uber Eats. Customers of legal drinking age can get delivery from select stores in California, Idaho, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Virginia, and Washington. Quote, our collaboration and trusted partnership with Uber Eats underscores our commitment to meet the evolving needs of our customers and providing a seamless digital shopping experience that complements their busy lives, unquote, said Jeannie Walden, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Rite Aid, the U.S.'s third largest pharmacy retailer. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hi, folks, and welcome to this episode of the CPG Guys. I'm Sri, one of the aforementioned CPG guys, and I love to discuss branding, D2C, omnichannel retail, P&Ls, connected commerce, retail media, and marketplaces. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Peter Bond, an expert at digital shelf content, retail success, customer data, insight, CRM, loyalty. And these days, he's been fancying himself as an emerging social media maven, none other than TikTok and Clubhouse. Please join me in welcoming the man with the radio voice, Mr. Bond. How are you today, Peter?
Sri, it is a great day. You know, summer is coming, Everybody is in a much better mood. I'm so excited. And today we're talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, as you know, which is really about how brands drive the success of innovation and help introduce products to consumers. So I think we've got a really great conversation set for today.
You bet, Peter. I can't wait to welcome our guests. But before we get there, let me remind our audience that you can find all our content by going to cpgguys.com. That includes what you asked us for back in the fall of last year, profitability of e-commerce and how to decompose it, our women's leadership series, where Peter and I were able to donate $8,000 to the Susan G. Komen Fund, and our ongoing founder series in Q1 and Q2 of 2021, of which this is very much a part of. Our show's content is very much driven by you. Please do give us your feedback, and the easy way to do that, from time to time, we do polls on LinkedIn, and how you can participate in that is simply go to linkedin.com, on the search bar, type CPG Guys and follow us. Or you can go to ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys, leave us both a rating and a review. And I know Peter, he likes a certain number. What would that be, Peter, for reviews? Number 5, so says the ratings and reviews guy. The modern shopping experience, though, Peter, is ever-evolving. Groceries are delivered to doorsteps, products are discovered on social media, and voice assistants make purchasing products easy. In this sort of rapidly changing and dynamic environment, brands are always seeking scalable ways to make shopping more convenient for customers. With the shift in the shopping behavior of consumers, how do marketers sample their products to encourage trial and drive purchase effectively and efficiently, which we call trial and repeat in our CPG industry? Two words come to mind: connected sampling. Brands can engage consumers in the comfort of their home, where product trial is at its highest. But conversation shouldn't simply stop there, because once you receive a sample, you can't just walk away. Digital solutions accelerate conversion by moving consumers to that entire, what you and I love to discuss, Peter, the purchasing funnel from top to bottom. So what we decided to do here on the CPG Guys is launch a 3-part series in partnership with one of those companies that is actually the spearhead of this, which is the team at BrandShare. Somewhat like a launch your brand to the next level kind of impact. We're talking about a disruptive, engaging experience at scale that instantly connects you with your target consumer. And our first guest for this part of the series is the co-founder and director of strategic development at BrandShare, where he has spent his entire 37-year professional career. Please join Peter and me in welcoming to the CPG Guys podcast, Doug Geyer. Doug, welcome. How are you today?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Prior to us getting to the questions, we would love for you to let our audience know the summary of BrandShare's business, including how they can find it easily.
You bet. BrandShare.us is our site. It's a .us, and that'll walk you through a capabilities case study scenario of how your brand could participate in connected sampling. Whether it's a disruptor brand, innovator brand, legacy brand, whatever it may be, you'll find a lot of solutions there.
And folks, that's BrandShare.us, not BrandShare.com, as Doug just mentioned. So why don't we get started, Doug? And obviously, Doug, you are the founder. You curated this company. This was your idea. What's your journey from Boston College to BrandShare? And back in 1984, Doug, what white space in the industry did you see to actually found BrandShare? I am fascinated that you've been doing this for 37 years and you built this elite machine.
84, obviously, I came out with a marketing degree from Boston College and utilized a lot of those skills to do what I do now. A lot of the life experiences I had as a person at BC, I continually use in and out of the classroom. I use today. It's amazing, 40 years later, that I'm still using that. And that's how the power of that type of education I received. When I joined or co-founded BrandShare, we were working with catalogers. There was no e-com in 84, right? So, you know, the L.L. Beans of the world, the Eddie Bowers of the world, we were working with about 50 different catalogers. And my job, my exact role was to, one, educate the catalogers why they should include a advertisement, at that point, advertisement, a brand insert into their packages. and two, educate the Geicos of the world and American Expresses of the world of why they should put their brand insert or application for a green card into the outgoing packages of catalogers that are targeting their type of customer. So that was the genesis of the idea. 8 years later, 1991, and this is the long answer, but it's really a pretty cool story. 1991, I'm at a conference, the world's largest marketing conference in San Francisco. And day after day, 3 days, I'm there solo. We're a small business. Last day, the last hour, a gentleman comes down bar hall. Everyone else is ripping the booth down. And he says, "What do you guys do?" And he's all suited up. I'm all suited up. I don't take my booth down. I'm waiting for a guy like this. So bottom line is, he's the director of consumer promotions for Johnson & Johnson Tylenol brand. He goes, "I like what you do. Have you ever thought of putting a sample into the L.L. Bean?" Or, you know, I said, "No, we've never done a sample. We've always done it brand insert." "Well, I'm looking for an alternative to what we're doing now. And we're doing about 20 million a year. So 20 million samples. So why don't we do a test?" So we set up a test with, and I can remember 30 years later, Eddie Bauer, L.L. Bean, Sportsman's Guide to Orbits. They were looking for the Weekend Warrior for the Tylenol Red Box. We made it happen with the two-tablet packet overwrapped with a collateral card coupon. He thought there was 200,000 pieces. He thought there was a blip in the redemptions. He thought it couldn't be this good. 6 weeks later, it was that good, and we went to 4 million pieces 6 months later, 4 million samples, and J&J has been a client ever since.
Peter, do you know anybody from Johnson & Johnson that you might be aware of?
I vaguely, there are some people that worked at that company in the past, but we may know some people with that kind of experience.
How about that?
I know. Hey, Doug, welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you on board. Wow, what a story. That's how you got into sampling. That is phenomenal. So BrandShare's primary business, as you've clearly stated, is brand sampling. So my question to you is, given that we're now in this vastly accelerating omni-channel world where online seems to be the way people are going, my question is sampling still driving the same value for brands in an increasingly digital world as it did in a traditional world of either doing cataloging or shopping in store? And, you know, why is this the case from your perspective? And also, what do you see as being, I certainly know because I've come from the sampling space, but I'd sure love to know how you articulate what you think being the distinct advantage of for sampling in the eyes of a brand. Why would a brand scale, you know, a scaled brand doing distribution in retail, right? Why would they want to do sampling?
Yeah, there's a couple answers to that. One is, if I'm a legacy brand, like Tylenol, let's say, and I've spent hundreds of millions of dollars in TV, digital, all kinds of marketing and advertising tactics. I'm going to be attacked every day by the challenger and innovative brands every day. You know, especially in the snack world, the beverage world, you name it. You know, look at Annie from General Mills. You know, Annie and Andrew had this little business, and $800 million later, General Mills picks them off. And there's a lot of other brands that are trying to do that. So, from sampling world, it's an old school marketing tactic, but brought into the digital and e-commerce world. And that's what we do. You know, that catalog network we had is now an e-commerce media network that is 800 different e-com retailers that ship out 100 million FedEx e-com order packages each month to 42 different lifestyle categories, lifestyle networks. Whether you're a appearance conscious woman, your mom with school age kids, or diabetic, gardening, you name it. For a targeted lifestyle, there are e-com retailers going after that, and they're part of our e-com media network. So it's within those packages, those FedEx order line packages that are delivered in-home, that we embed a single solo sample into that. I have a variety here from a visual standpoint that whether it's a new Nerds that we're putting into Halloween costume e-com packages, or it's a beauty Maybelline beauty product that's going into WooLaLa.com's packages. It's a way to infiltrate the clutter of the advertising world to get in home of your targeted consumer to get him or her to try it in the comfort, safety, and privacy of her home, and then to buy it with that digital component, that scan-to-cart technology that we have.
For the sake of our audience, I want to make sure I got that number right, Doug. Did I hear 800 e-commerce retailers is what BrandShare plugs an opportunity into?
That's correct. Our e-com media network is comprised of 800+, and it's growing every day. E-com retailers, from the biggest to the smallest, to the most niche marketplace, to the mass market retailers.
That is a whopping number, folks.
Sri, did you hear the word that Doug used? Infiltrate. I love that. It is a war, and they will get behind the lines.
How about that, Peter? So, Doug, let's talk about brand experiences, right? At the end of the day, sampling happens from brands. So take us through the details exactly of what's offered. Do you find a way to get inside a sampling, existing sampling box? Do you work with a specific retailer on a curated subscription type of box? Like, give us the scoop over here and what brands can expect in a partnership. Do you also share data, insights, and analytics on who's actually taking advantage from a consumer perspective of these?
Yeah, and there's a two-part answer to that, because our e-com order fulfillment packages that we're shipping, we're not shipping out, our e-com retail partners are. We're just sending, backing up a truck to their fulfillment center or fulfillment centers. And after reserving, getting their legal marketing fulfillment review and approval to do this. So easy example, Zulily is the world's biggest marketer, e-com retailer for moms with school-age kids. So if I buy my 9-year-old son a Halloween costume and it comes FedEx and we embed that nerd's candy sample there, that's a way to get into that millions, not hundreds or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, millions of parents with a certain demographic as well as psychographic that the brand is trying to reach in home. So that's an e-com media package that has 100 million per month. You mentioned subscription boxes. Yes, we also run the subscription box for, let's say, Walmart Beauty Box. And that's just that, a subscription box that there's 5 to 6 beauty products inside that consumers from Walmart subscribe to on a quarterly basis. So yeah, there's different aspects to our audience or our media network. But the majority is that e-com media network that is a one-on-one conversation with that online consumer.
Thanks, Doug. That's really helpful. So let's get to the client experience, and in this case, your client or brands. I want to understand the end-to-end experience of working with BrandShare. Once a brand decides to work with you, what happens next? Like, how do they go about targeting consumers? How do they go about deciding with you on which of your retail partners are appropriate for distribution of these samples? Now, how long does it take from beginning to end to implement and distribute these samples in a campaign, right? And then ultimately, I think Sri asked this, and I'll ask it again. What are the kinds of, beyond just distributing the sample, what are the kind of outputs that brands should expect as part of a campaign?
A lot of questions there, Peter. Let me get that first one back in there.
All right.
When a brand calls us and says, hey, I have, and a typical sampling campaign is anywhere from 500,000 samples to 2 million. We've certainly done 15 million. We've certainly done 50,000. So some of the younger or challenger brands can certainly test with 50. But let's just say it's a mid-tier brand. They have a budget and they have 500,000 samples. They want to distribute to moms with school-age kids, parents with school-age kids, not just moms. So what we'll do is, hey, we'll look at our lifestyle network from that particular moms and parents with school-age kids and say, all right, Zulily, childrensplace.com, Fabletics Kids, We'll put together a recommendation of the top, let's say, 10 e-com retailers that fit their time frame, that are available for their time frame, as well as, hey, Zulily's pumping out 2.3 million orders every month. You know, we could put all 500,000 in there and it distributes in a week. But let's not do all 500,000 with a one e-com retailer. Let's get five different ones in there so everyone gets 100,000 or so. So from the time to put that together, Peter, is really your question, is 4 to 6 weeks. Very, very easily done. We take all the heavy lifting off the brand managers or VP marketing shoulders. And then to distribute it, we can distribute that in 1 week, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, depending on how long the brand would like that, because it's typically part of an integrated marketing strategy that they're doing digitally, as well as TV or billboard or whatever it may be. So it's typically not just sampling. It's bolted onto your overall integrated marketing advertising campaigns.
So, Doug, what I take away clearly is, you know, this could be distributed weekly, monthly, depending on the retailer that a brand chooses to activate on, is what I'm guessing over here. And brands can probably do this as often as they want to. But I'd love to learn from you, is this different by category? Like, for example, if you're putting a fragrance out there, I'm pretty sure a sample every month doesn't make sense. But what is your advice based on the category? Like, what would you tell a brand? How often should they be doing this?
Right. And the important thing there is, Sri, is these are not subscriptions. It's like a magazine. It's the same subscribers, you know, 98% of them every month. So I really don't want to put my sample, even if it's a scent strip or a fragrance strip from Arcade, into that every month because I'm hitting the same people. With e-com media, with e-com packages, the typical e-com retailer, and I'll take Amazon out of this equation because, you know, the buying cadence for Amazon is much different than the typical e-com retailer. It's about 3 times a year. So if an e-com retailer can get you to buy, because whoever your favorite e-com retailer is, you buy from them 3 times a year, you're a great customer. Because and again, I'm going to take grocery, online grocery, out of that equation too for obvious reasons. But I'm talking about, you know, whether it's Zulily or it's Ooh-La-La or it's, you know, you name it, Fanatics.com. You're typically buying again 2 to 3 times a year. So from a duplication effort or statistic, there really is none month to month, especially when you're using different e-com retailers. And we're not doing any conquesting where they're going to put Pepsi in this week and then Coke in next week, et cetera. We just simply don't do that. The scale is so large, we don't need to do that. And even if the scale wasn't as large, we wouldn't do that from a sheer, you know, marketing acumen standpoint. It's just not the way we operate. So I hope that answers the question where if it's a subscription box for Walmart Beauty, hey, there's a reason that L'Oreal's in there in spring and not in summer or fall, unless they have a sun care for summer and it's a different brand. So L'Oreal certainly does. So they'll participate, you know, just about every time, every quarter with a different brand of theirs.
For the record, Doug, I actually made about 8 or 9 purchases this year from Fanatics, but that's because of my insatiable need for clothing and apparel and memorabilia for the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, right, Sri?
I thought you were buying gifts for Sri with the Yankees all over the place.
No. Maybe taunting gifts if they were. Well, anyhow, I'm not going to say anything bad about the Yankees. Go
David
Yankees!
Will not say a word right now because I will now pull up my MLB app and I will show to the world live here what the standings are. Yankees, 2016.556. The Dodgers, 2017.541. OMG.
So anyhow, let's get back to the topic at hand, Doug. I have a tremendous amount of experience in customer segmentation, and I'm really curious because you made reference to this before. Can you tell us how you are going about creating these customer segments that your clients can leverage? And then I'd really love to know about, after the consumer has received the sample, the relationship doesn't end there. In fact, it's probably just starting to occur. How do, one of my other fascinations is QR codes. How are you using QR codes to play into the conversation between the brand and the consumer reaching that sample?
Yeah. You know, in old school, there was, to your point, you give the consumer a sample, whether it's in store or a festival or a sports game, and goodbye. That doesn't work anymore. Really, in the late 90s, J&J McNeil really challenged us on that as our catalog network turned into an e-commerce media network. Is I need some accountability, I need some attribution. I need to know what's going on after the fact. So we created a survey site that has morphed into much more than that. And now it's, hey, it is that sample with Oreos, Thins, but there's a QR code to buy it right now. And that QR code can direct that sample recipient right to the retailer of that brand's choice. So they can use the shopper marketing funds to drive them to Walmart.com. We use the shopper marketing funds to drive them to Target.com, Amazon, you name it.
Sri, did you hear that? That's full funnel, sample right to purchase. That's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
It really is something that we've tested 3 years ago. Last year, really, you know, before the COVID, really rolled it out. And then during COVID, it was, hey, something that every campaign, it's not an option anymore. It's, this is what you're doing. And we're advising the brands, they need to do that. And it's not expensive to do. It's just a technology that we're leveraging accordingly.
You know what, Doug, what else I love? Somebody who says McNeil and not Johnson & Johnson, because I know they're for real. Because I've spent hours and hours at McNeil myself down in Pennsylvania.
They're 19 minutes up the street here. And I had to go to San Francisco to meet the gentleman. Randomly.
Oh, boy. Right. So I know, you know, when we look at this world of sampling, sampling gets even more relevant when you measure audiences. You can be part of this modern marketing of conversational commerce. You, of course, mentioned retail media networks. So I know brand share is in all these spaces. Could you highlight for our audience the services that you're actually bringing to bear for brands in these spaces? What else you do other than the core business of simply putting products inside a sampling box?
Yeah, that is our core for sure. Then there's spokes off that core. And a lot of that is driven by our retailers asking us, hey, can you do this? That is, can you build a subscription-based e-com transactional site to house our beauty box? And that's what we did just for Walmart. Same with the baby box. So, you know, we'll, and that led to other things of, hey, what can we do for online grocery in 2014 when that was just starting? So when a consumer picks up their online grocery at the parking lot, the sales associate comes out and gives them a bag, thank you bag, a welcome bag. And there's six or seven samples in there that are all product exclusive, product category exclusive, that drives that consumer, that online grocery consumer, back to that retailer of choice to buy, to add to their basket, not replace, but add to that basket. So to your point, yes, we built that e-com media network that is huge and large, but then we have the spokes of the subscription boxes. We have the online grocery bags. We have literally, if a brand wants to do a solo sample, because why? Because they're in retail media, and what can they do at Amazon.com or Walmart.com? They can advertise, hey, would you like a free sample of X brand, of my brand? Click here. So instead of just a banner ad, they'll put an action item right there. That gets downloaded to us. We produce the physical box. We inkjet on the back. We ship it out on a daily basis. So there's different ways to work. We don't place retail media. You know, Walmart Connect does a great job of that. Amazon Media Group does a great job of that, et cetera. But we work with those retailers to do things like this in the back end.
Wow, that is really actually quite phenomenal, the ability to have consumers self-select their interest and then you being able to fulfill them at scale as opposed to necessarily putting it in the package. That's really great. I'm going to ask the last question of this particular episode, Doug. And what I want to understand is if you can talk to our audience, particularly the brand people in our audience, what do you see as being kind of the compelling proposition for brand share being right for brands of all sizes? You talked about a lot of really big numbers in terms of the distribution, but I've got to imagine brand share is right for brands of any size. What is it you're going to really help them all do?
Yeah. Boy, we will, you know, kind of the reason we're in sampling and we start with sampling and we'll go outside on the digital component of that is because sampling works so well. It's scary how good it works. And when you can get in home to your target audience and get 97 to 98% trial and then take based on the quality of the product, how good your product is, and your product better be good if you're going to sample it, we're going to get 14 to 32% conversion for you. Okay, so it's a huge game changer. I would always advise the brands to know that sampling is one of, if not the most expensive advertising tactics out there. Why? Because it's based on the size and weight of that sample, it costs a lot of money to distribute, and you have the actual cost of goods of this sample. So upfront, very high to get into. You need to invest accordingly. Back end, though, it's one of the least expensive from a new customer acquisition standpoint. So you have a little dilemma if you're a small brand, you want to test your way in, almost as a direct response marketer. Hey, test 50,000. Oh, it works. Let's do 500,000. Where a known brand, a legacy brand, can go right in, know it works, as long as what? As long as that sampling partner is executing flawlessly. So when it executes flawlessly, it's getting in the comfort, privacy, and safety of that person's at the targeted consumer's home, then you win. You win in a big way, and you can make it easy and convenient for that sample recipient to buy the product with a digital click to cart that she or he scans right over their phone. It becomes a no-brainer for a brand to participate and look at their overall marketing budgets, Peter, and go, hey, I'm spending X amount of millions of dollars in TV. What if I take 10% of that? Will I really miss that? Would I really miss that 10% if I take it off search or some type of digital programmatic and dedicate it to sampling and see how well it works for your brand?
Mr. Bond, here's what we heard. 800 plus e-commerce networks, retailers. 800 plus. I heard audience measurement. I heard partnerships with retail media networks such as Walmart Connect, where you know their expertise comes into play. We got some good advice on a category basis from Doug, how to bet on sampling and the importance. But the most important piece, Peter, wait, it's coming. Full funnel connection from audience acquisition to actually buying the product. That to me, Peter, is the wow moment for this sampling opportunity. I want to remind our audience, you can find all our content on cpgguys.com. And of course, we'd love for you to tell us what you think about the show and who you'd like on the show. Best way to do that, go to linkedin.com. At the search bar, type cpgguys. Simply follow us. Doug, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom on sampling, full funnel marketing, all the way to a click-through purchase with our audience. Can you remind our audience one more time where they can find you or BrandShare and what's the best way to engage?
BrandShare.us is our website. Always feel free to contact me directly, dguyer, G-U-Y-E-R, at BrandShare.us. 24/7, this is not a job for me. This is a career. It's 37 years of passion and love for this because it works so well for the brands as well as for our e-com retailers. So it's a great win for both of our sides of our client base.
And I have a little extra special emotion today because he referred to Tylenol and the partnership on how he got started with this. Of course, Doug, if you didn't know, I spent 5 years at Johnson & Johnson. I do want to remind our audience that parts 2 and 3 of this partnership with BrandShare will appear in the next couple months. So do look out for those. Peter, as always, week over week, I cannot thank you enough for being my partner in this journey of the CPG guys.
Sri, we're going to include in the digital liner notes of this episode a link to BrandShare's site. We'll include a link to Doug's LinkedIn profile and his email address that he read out. So you don't have to scribble it all down, people. Just open up your podcast episode, click into the digital liner notes, and you get it there. Sri, I love this episode, right? This is all about how brands invest in driving trial for their products. And we know, you and I both know, that successful trial and innovation is the lifeblood of a brand's growth. So this was really terrific. I am very enthusiastic about the next two parts of this partnership that we've built with BrandShare.
Absolutely, Peter. You and I have grown up in the industry using the word trial and repeat. How many times, Peter? And what I learned today is we have a mechanism to plug that word into the reality of modern marketing, aka digital, to close the loop on the lower side of the funnel. Folks, that's a wrap for this episode. See you soon on another episode of the CPG Guys.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.